Our reading this morning is from the Psalms, Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
Put your hope in God. A message for a year, a message for any time perhaps. That where we are looking isn't so much focused on the problems or the issues, but is focused upon our Almighty God. And if you've got the Bibles, you might want to keep them open at Psalm 33, because it's you might not remember what I say, but you can read this perhaps during the week or perhaps even during the year as times get difficult or as issues come up. And this psalm is a great place to go to see what God wants to tell us. We're going to basically look at it in just four quick sections. God knows just what's going on. God is all powerful. His word, his plans stand firm. The one in charge is good and he cares for us. So put your hope in the Lord. This phrase apparently comes from Robert Browning, something called Pippa's Song. God is in his heaven. All is right with the world. And I don't know how long Harry someone took for that photo, because to get that wonderful kind of smiley in the sky made of the birds is quite remarkable. But actually, I do not believe that this is the Christian message. Because what this sort of implies is that God is in his space, and that's okay, and he should stay in his place, and then everything else is going on down here. And I think actually that's a very, very dangerous message, and I don't believe it's the message that the Bible tells us at all. In fact, what I think the Bible tells us, and particularly this psalm, is God knows just what is going on. It isn't that God knows his place that makes everything right on earth, but it is the fact that God is intimately involved with the life that we live. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees. That is the message of this psalm from verses 13 to 15. And indeed, if you look at that few verses, it says this: he looks, he sees, he watches over, he forms, he considers. And in case you think you were left out, the word that comes most often in those two verses is the word all. He watches over all mankind. He sees all the people. He formed the hearts of all, and everything is Everything we do is what he sees. I don't know how comfortable you feel about that, the sense that God knows everything you do. A very silly story was told about some rivalry in a Welsh hillside village between the policeman, the local policeman, and the local vicar. And they were always trying to get one over each other, and there was a bit of tension. And anyway, the policeman thought, if I could get the vicar on a criminal charge, I really would win well, you see. And he kept trying, and he couldn't find any way. The vicar was a very, very good man, and he couldn't catch him out. And then he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll get him going through a red light. Because rather like Martin, the vicar was very keen on his bikes, and he would take on the steepest hills. And it was a really steep hill. I don't know if you saw in the paper. I think Wales is about to win the steepest street competition again or something. Anyway, this is a really steep street, and right at the bottom were some traffic lights. So the policeman thought, if I know the vicar's coming down on his bike, and if I wait to the last moment and I then change the traffic lights manually, I'll catch him, you see? Anyway, so you can imagine the scene, the policeman standing just behind a kind of bush by the traffic lights, and the bike comes careering down the road towards the traffic lights. At the very last moment, the policeman thought he hit it to red, you see. And the vicar hits his brakes, digs his heels in, you know, one of those sort of cartoon finishes that you see, and just stops just in time. And the policeman was really miffed, and he stood out, and he went over to the vicar, and he said, well, you nearly went through that red light, didn't you? And the vicar said, wherever I am, wherever I go, the Lord is with me, even on the bicycle. And the policeman said, ah, two on a bike, that's an offence. God knows just what's going on and is intimately involved in the details of our lives. When you look at our Thursday bulletin, you'll see a list of people we're praying for, different situations. And we do that because we believe that God is involved. He looks, he sees. He isn't just tucked away in heaven. He's intimately involved with what is going on earth. But it's not just that he's involved and that he's looking, but it's also that he is all-powerful. His word and his plans stand firm. He created. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. That picture actually is taken from, I don't know if you saw this week, the BBC say there's some unusual radio signals coming from 1.5 billion light years away. Well, so there are perhaps. Fascinating, because God created us, created the heavens. There probably are amazing other places that God's created too. But we know this, that God created our earth and he created humankind. And he is all-powerful. His word goes forward in power. And of course, having just celebrated Christmas, we know that the word with which he created, the word is Jesus. We know too that we have the written word of God, which reveals to us all we need to know about God and about salvation. And we know God still speaks today. He gives us his word through his Holy Spirit. Whether it's through preaching or prophecy or words of knowledge, God still speaks today. He calls people to himself. His word is word of power. He is the creator God. And he commands. Verse 9 said, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. I was in the British Museum on Thursday, getting ready for a trip that didn't quite happen, but hopefully will happen soon for the Alpha people. And as you walk around there, what strikes you is how many totally all-powerful empires there were that are now expressed by lumps of stone or mummies or jewellery covered under dust, sitting in the British Museum. The British Museum is under dust. They were dug up from under the dust. And at any time, we think of the all-powerful empires on our earth. And yet, if we take a look at time, God is there. God is in control. And things come and things go. And those who seem to be top of the pile at one stage, within perhaps 100 years, are reduced to the bottom of the pile again. And that is how it is. Let the earth fear the Lord, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. And God is not only all-powerful in that he created and that he commanded, but he is in control. This is a brilliant verse to think of, I think, as we look at the political mess at the moment that we see around us. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. Not much about democracy there, by the way, but that's because God knows what is best. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. He is the one who is in control. And then he is also the one in charge. But the one in charge is good, and he cares for us. The word of the Lord is right and true. This is a slightly different version from ours, but it's a great one. We can trust everything he does. We can trust everything he does. We have sort of, as Christians, bet our lives on the fact that God is a God who is good. In all situations and circumstances, God works for the good of those who love him. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. Just two of the promises from Scripture. He is faithful in all he does. He is faithful in all he does. But I don't want to be flippant about this, because many of us find ourselves in situations where we seriously question or call into to mind, is God good? Can we rely on him? Why are things going wrong like this? And so the statement, God is good, is one that needs to be said in faith. One of my favorite songs, we sang it this morning, is Blessed Be Your Name. And we sing that song when we're saying, when everything is right or when everything is wrong, it is still right that we bless and praise the name of God. He is good. He is in control, even if we do not feel it or see it at that time. God is good. His love is unfailing. And in the psalm, the psalmist chose to say this to us three times. In verse 5, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. In verse 18, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. And verse 22, may your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. His love is unfailing. The earth is full of his unfailing love. And as Christians, we know that that was demonstrated the most amazingly, the most powerfully, as we sung in the new song that we had today, the Saviour for our sins, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This isn't a God who's in his heaven. This was a God on the earth, living our life, dying for our sins, being raised again, that we might have eternal life, that we might be forgiven. This is the one who is in charge. And if ever we doubt his goodness, we should look again at the cross and see that he loved us so much that he was willing to go through the very worst circumstances so that we could be in relationship with him. And he's looking out for us, and he cares for us. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our help and our shield. God cares for us. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. We have an amazing God. He is in control, but he is good, and he cares for us. So the call for us, it seems to me today, is to put our hope in the Lord. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Not in any other person, philosophy, or human solution. It's interesting, in the psalm, there's those verses, verse 16 and 17, that talk about the king and the horse, which I guess was the military power of the time, and the warrior. And it struck me that actually we're writing this today, we might write this psalm. No leader or government save by the size of its majority or the strength of its secret services. No corporation escapes based upon its balance sheet or cash reserves. No military force or defense systems can be relied upon to keep us safe. No human philosophy or scheme can sort out the world's problems. Let's not look to human solutions. That doesn't mean we shouldn't work for them, that we shouldn't work hard for justice and the right outcomes. But ultimately, we mustn't trust on what we do, but we must put our hope in the Lord. And despite the circumstances of suffering and hardship that will come at times, we can rely on his unfailing love. It's interesting, the psalm doesn't dodge this. It tells us very clearly. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. So we're talking there about the fact that actually it's in suffering that perhaps we will most know the differentiation of for those who wait on God and those who look to human situations. And so however difficult our situation, we can still come to God today. In the face of any fears we have for the future, whether they were the big ticket items of environment or Brexit or whatever, or whether they're very, very practically what's going to happen to us today or tomorrow, whatever it happens to be. We can take those fears and we can bring them to God, putting our hope in him. Because as we put our hope in the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God, his unfailing love will rest upon us. His unfailing love will rest upon us. When my children were very young and we lived in Hong Kong, in the height of the summer, it was so hot during the day, after school we often went to the public swimming pool that was quite nearby. And my son was, what, 5, 6? And in the middle of the pool, the tiles at the bottom of the pool, was a picture of a dragon dolphin type of thing. My son used to absolutely love it. He used to say he was frightened of this. And I would pick him up and I'd throw him right into the water above it, go splashing down, shouting at him, face your fears, Joshua, face your fears. And he'd scream and splash and swim back to me as fast as he could. And then, do it again, Dad, do it again, Dad, do it again, Dad. And of course, the point about it was not that he was really facing his fears. I don't suppose he was really terrified of the tiles on the bottom of the swimming pool. But the fact was, he loved the fact that he could come back to his father and he trusted that his father was going to look after him. And that's how I think what it means for us to put our hope in the Lord. It is not because we won't go through things that are fearful, but it's because our father loves us. He will not do anything that isn't for the good of those that love him. And he will protect us. And he is there to pick us up. One of my favorite verses, you often hear me quote this one, is this one. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And as we come into this year with some big uncertainties and some little ones, let's put our hope in the Lord. Let's cast our cares upon him. Let's face our fears, knowing that our loving Heavenly Father is watching, is involved, is all-powerful, and is all-loving. Let's come to him now. Let's pray. Almighty God, we worship you because though you are almighty, yet you have demonstrated your love in that while we were still sinners and enemies, you reconciled us to yourself by the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you that we don't know the future, but you do. Thank you that we don't know how to cope with problems, but you do. Thank you that we can trust you and put our hope in you, day by day, week by week. May we know your unfailing love. May we experience it and live in the power of it as we trust you, day by day. Amen.